Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good day. For those of you on the other side of the camera, let me tell you a quick story before we get going. Last week, as you know, you watched me preach like this. That's not my idea. But we got a new camera, so hopefully we're back in business and we're ready to go for our sermon titled, Better Than That. And our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm chapter 19. The whole psalm. And while you're looking that up, I have to tell you, I have gotten myself into a little bit of trouble this week. It seems I have been invited to no longer shop at the Dollar Tree stores. Now, why does everybody laugh? I'm hurt. I got asked not to come back because it was my birthday this week, and I decided I wanted some balloons for myself. Because nobody, don't start giving me balloons. I just wanted some balloons. So I wandered into the store and I got some balloons picked out for me. And I went up to the counter. And when I was up at the counter and I was paying for it, I said, man, these balloons are expensive. And the counter lady wouldn't talk to me. I said, man, these things are really expensive. And she was ringing out these people in front of me. I said to the woman in front of me, I tapped her. I said, you know, these balloons are so expensive. And she goes, well, I hadn't thought of it, but I guess they are. And the counter lady's checking out everybody. I came to her, I said, these balloons are so expensive. And she finally said, well, I don't know why that is. I said, well, I do. And she goes, why? I said, inflation. She pointed at the door and said, don't come back. Well, I thought that was pretty funny. Better than that. Psalm chapter 19, one verse. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we are here today. I thank you, Father, that we are able to be joined in the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that we are able to look into your word, and I pray that these words coming from you make sense. I pray, Father, that we are lifted and strengthened from them and move forward. Father, watch over and keep us as we depart from here and use this sermon, this lesson, to remind, teach, lead, and guide us. Draw us together in Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. Now, today is a historical lesson day. I wanted to teach you a little bit about the history of Maryland through the visage of fried chicken. Oh yeah, got everybody's attention now. You see, the area was called Dunlawgan. Now, long before that, it was known as Chatham Springs. And from that grew a community known as Chatham Springs. It was a dairy farm down there of pure Holstein Friesian cattle. 530 acres, known as Chatham Springs. It was property of one of the daughters to Thomas W. Ligon. And Ligon was the governor of Maryland from 1854 to 1859. That home is still there, privately held within the Ligon family, and lived in today. It was given as a wedding gift. Now, ask myself, what could be better than that? Well, in 1926, Joseph Natwick, who was a lumberman, took notice of the fact that the farm was more than half covered with large white pine, white oak, and he saw a great chance to profit from it. So he offered to buy the farm from the two elderly sisters that were living there, and they wouldn't do it. They didn't want the land to be destroyed, so he decided he would work with them to preserve a part of it, which is still preserved today. And in doing so, he reworked the farm and brought forth, after being done logging it, he brought forth prized Percheron, pay attention, Alan and Mike, prized Percheron draft horses and began to work it. And the place was called Dunlawgan because after it was done being logged, he turned it back into an award-winning dairy farm and called it Dunlawgan. He was a native of Wisconsin, and he loved seeing those black and white Holsteins on his property. And so he invented a way to bring in prospective herdsmen. And he bought pure stock and built barns and landscape. And the farm was considered a diamond in what would become Ellicott City. He hired a genius cowman, Paul B. Misner from Pennsylvania, and a well-known veterinarian, Dr. E.C. Dubler from Nashimy Farms in Newtown, Pennsylvania. And they took care of this herd, and the herd grew, and from that came Dunlogan Royal Dairy. And it grew. And it became one of the premier farms in all of Howard County, only being sold later on to a man who wanted to continue the farm, name of Kaplan, who put together Shirtcraft, a firm in New York City that made shirts that would one day go on to become those little funny alligator shirts. Now, what could be better than that? Well, how about Cloverland Dairy Farms? Starting in the heart of Baltimore in 1919. Their Monroe Street location was where horse and wagon teams left every morning delivering the finest dairy products. In 1932, Green Spring Dairy and Cloverland formed to become the two major milk producers in the Baltimore, Washington area. Who here has heard of Cloverland Dairy Milk? Hands up everywhere. Right. In 1995, they formed out and they built a modernized dairy that is still there today. And in case you're wondering, yes, I have been there. Because if you get there at the right time, they'll give you a free bottle of milk. And they had a slogan, which I thought was just great. During the 1960s, their jingle was, "If you don't own a cow, call Cloverland now." That's pretty good, ain't it? Now, what could be better than that? In 1959, Dunlogan Royal Farms, or Royal Dunlogan Dairy, I'm sorry, and Cloverland Dairy Farms decided they wanted to bring a new market to the Baltimore metro area. And they got to talking, and the Dunlogan Dairy was on the verge of closing up because they couldn't get their product out the way they wanted. And so Cloverland Dairy and Royal Dunlogan Farms merged together and formed a convenience store known as Royal Farms. Now let me just tell you right now, I am a Royal Farms kind of guy. If I had my wallet, you'd see that I love Royal Farms. They started out by October 2019. You know, there are 214 locations, and 100 of them are right here in Maryland. And they have, in my opinion, the absolute best fried chicken on the face of the planet. Now, several months ago, they decided they wanted to change the coffee market. And so they wanted to do something that was new and unheard of. And they wanted you to be able to grind your own beans right there on the spot. Well, now that's a gadget. And anytime there's a gadget, Paul Leatherman is there to see the gadget because I love gadgets. And they brought these things in called Swiss pressurized coffee grinder makers. And you can go to Royal Farms today and you can pick from a list of coffees about that long. And the one that I love the most is the Brazilian dark roast. And you walk up to the little machine, there's a row of them. You get your cup out, whatever size you want to get. I don't know why they put small cups of coffee out there. It's got to be a joke, right? Because you're never going to drink 8 ounces of coffee. That's just silliness. Go get the 24-ounce Grande Biggie, right? Well, I only ever get the 20 because that's pretty good. And you put it in there and you hit the screen. And it tells you what you're going to do. And do you want to leave room for cream? And do you want to put ice in it? And all this other stuff. Boop, boop, boop. And then you push it and you hear that thing sit there and shake. And it grinds. And then the coffee comes out. And it's hot and fresh. And I go and put a little milk in it. Cloverland Dairy Farms milk. I put a little milk in it. And I'm happy. And once in a great while, I get a little hungry in the morning. And they have a Texas toast sausage and egg sandwich, where you can get double egg. Oh my goodness. This past week, I was a little hungry. I had eaten my raisins and my banana which I usually eat for breakfast in the morning, and it just wasn't handling it. So I whipped into the Royal Farms. And the one I go to, well, they know me. And I come through the door, "Paul, how you doing?" I felt like Norma Cheers, you know? And I said, they said, "You haven't been here for a couple weeks." I said, "No, I've been busy." I said, "I want a sandwich today." And so I went over and I punched out what I wanted on my sandwich. And I waited, and the nice ladies were sitting there making it, and they were talking to me, and they were all just giggling and carrying on as they do. And I looked over at the coffee machine, and I'm telling you, I heard the coffee machine go, "Paul." "Well, what?" "Well, you haven't seen you for a while." See, I slowed down my coffee intake. I said, "Yeah, I don't want any." "We just put fresh beans in." "Really?" "Come here for a minute and smell them." "Okay." And the next thing I know, boop, 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 and I'm getting a cup of coffee. Now I'm happy. And I got my sandwich, and I got another banana, and I looked in my wallet, and I opened it up, and my wallet said, "You are overspending today, fool." And I didn't have enough cash, so I knew I was going to have to use the card. And I went up and I sat down at the self-checkout, and I punched in my ticket, and I put my coffee up, and I punched in, there's a thing there that says, "Did you get a drink?" And you punch it in there. And because I bought a sandwich, the coffee was free. I heard angels singing. And I walked out of there. I still had $2 left in my wallet. I was so happy. I got out in the car. I walked out. I was smiling. I was saying hello to complete strangers. "How you doing today?" "Man, get away from me, you big hillbilly. What's wrong with you?" I was happy. And I sat down and I started thinking about the sermon. And I thought to myself, what could be better than that? And I read Psalm 19. And I did things a little different today because I don't ever want us to become complacent. And I got to thinking after I read that, there are so many more things. Go back to your Bible for a moment. Let's start at the beginning. David writes these words. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion. Like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at the end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." Verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous." Number 10, "They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me, then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Amen. Do you understand what David lays out in an often overlooked psalm? He lays out the beauty and glory of something. In my opinion, he lays out beauty and glory of blessings. And one in particular. One morning, R.C. Chapman, who was a great devout Christian, a great writer, asked how he was feeling, says, "I am burdened this morning." was his reply. But his happy countenance contradicted his words, so the questioner exclaimed in surprise, "Are you really burdened to Mr. Chapman?" "Yes, but it's a wonderful burden. It's an overabundance of blessings for which I cannot find enough time or words to express my gratitude." Seeing the puzzled look on the face of his friend, Dr. Chapman added with a smile, "I'm referring to Psalm 68:19, which describes my condition. In that verse, the Father in heaven reminds us he daily loads us with benefits." Better than that? Oh, I think there is something better than that. Now, you may ask where I'm going. How in the world I'm going to tie Royal Farms fried chicken, and this is not a commercial for them, but how I'm going to tie Royal Farms fried chicken and free coffee to something greater than that. Gordon Brownell's Symbols of the Holy Spirit tells about the great Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen, the first to discover the magnetic meridian of the North Pole and to discover the South Pole. On one of his trips, Amundsen took a homing pigeon with him. When he finally reached the top of the world, he opened the bird's cage and set it free and imagined the delight of his wife back in Norway when she looked up from the doorway of her home and saw the pigeon circling in the sky above. No doubt she exclaimed, "He is alive, he is alive, my husband is alive." And so it was when Jesus ascended. He was gone. Gone. But the disciples clung to his promise to send them the Holy Spirit. What joy then when the dove-like Holy Spirit descended at Pentecost. The disciples had with them the continual reminder that Jesus was alive and victorious and at the right hand of the Father. This continues in the Spirit's message. What can be better than that free coffee? Everything that we have because of our faith in Jesus Christ and because of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I thought it was funny this morning when Jill put her hand up and said, "Hey, we need to be reminded of the blessings." Boy, if you only knew what this sermon was going to be about. And I was stunned. Because I am often one to wonder if what I am preaching about is going to fall in line and make sense. I sat in my car with that coffee, thinking about how something that simple triggers me to think about Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. How we walk around, and David writes that, how we walk around every day watched over by the Holy Spirit. How we get our leading, our guiding, and directing. He's operating for us. He's taking care of us even when we may not pay attention to it. He's sort of our valet, if you will. Now, for those of you that wonder why I pulled that word out, Wendy and I, boy, I ain't going to catch it for this one. Wendy and I fell into the grips, if you will, of Masterpiece Theaters, PBS Broadcasting. I'll set it. Are you ready? We are now watching Downton Abbey. And I can't quit watching it. And I watch them people and what they do. And I started thinking about this sermon from that aspect. The great man comes down the stairs. The man, Lord Grantham, comes down the steps. And he's all dressed to the nines. They dressed to go to dinner. I'm talking tux and tails. Bow tie, the whole nine yards. And somebody saw to it that everything was just right so that he could present himself as such. Our watch, our oversight from the Holy Spirit is as such. It does not require. It does not ask. It simply does. Because it was tasked by Jesus when he left to keep us here safe until that day comes. And we get these blessings and we don't always realize it. And I know, we sang a song today, "Count Your Many Blessings." Talked about blessings back there. We're looking in Psalm chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Again, look. Look at this building. Look in the windows. Everything that we have, everything that we see, everything that we do is because Jesus Christ died for us, left us the Holy Spirit, and the Father has seen fit to bless us. Seen fit to do it when we never had deserved it. And we ask Him for things. Traveling mercies. Kindness. Relief from pain. Strengthening when we need it. Understanding. I think that David unknowingly wrote something thousands and thousands of years ago to remind us of the power that God gives us through the Holy Spirit. We are truly, truly blessed. And we are watched over until His return. And if we step back for a moment and we think about something as silly and giggly as getting a free coffee because you bought a large sandwich at the store, and because you bought a large sandwich and you didn't have enough money to pay for it, and you knew you were going to have to use the debit card, and you knew when you got home, somebody that was waiting at home, we'll call them the comptroller of the Leatherman household, knows the minute I come home, did you use your card today at the Royal Farms? Yeah. What'd you buy? Well, I bought everybody their coffee and sandwiches and... Why did you do that? I gave you money. I didn't have any. Well, you should do better with your money and don't spend it like that. Yeah, but I was hungry. I Oliver Twist, please, sir, can I have some more? Something as simple as that. It tickled me to no end. I'm not kidding you. I got in the car and I sat down and I was full of light. It made me happy, and it made me think of how many blessings we are given we do not see. Because we don't always see the Holy Spirit. We focus on Jesus Christ. Good. We focus on God and what He does. Good. And we sometimes forget that the reason that they're up there working is because our valet, the Holy Spirit, is guiding us, protecting us, covering us, keeping us, and doing everything it can to lead us the way until the return. It's in those moments I dwell on that return. At the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for taking a stand against Adolf Hitler. Yet he continued to urge his fellow believers to resist Nazi tyranny. A group of Christians believing that Hitler was the Antichrist asked Bonhoeffer, "Why do you expose yourself to all this danger? Why do you put yourself out there? Jesus will return any day and all your work and suffering will be for nothing. You've done all this for nothing. You already believe. Why not just be happy and quiet in your belief and wait for Jesus to return?" And Dietrich said this: "If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it is finished because of my blessings." Because of my blessings. What could be better than that? There are so many things all around us. We have birthdays. I just celebrated my 53rd birthday. 54th. Right. And we went out and we enjoyed it. And again, I got thrown out for trying to buy balloons. We have marriages. This is that time of year, ain't it? A lot of marriages happen between June and October. For some reason, that seems to be that time period. You know, everybody likes that kind of weather. Some want a fall wedding, and some want a June wedding, and some want a late season wedding. And every bachelor that gets married, every groom that stands up there just wants for it to be over. That is his blessing. And I hear it because whenever we're doing the stuff and I'm talking to the groom, I often get the same statement, whatever she wants. I'll be happy if she's happy. We get answers to prayers, not often our way, but we do get blessed by it. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is keep asking. What could be better than that? James Packer, in his book, Your Father Loves You, wrote the following about the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit's distinctive role is to fulfill what we may call a floodlight ministry in relation to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So far as this role is concerned, the Spirit was not yet, while Jesus was on earth, only when the Father had glorified Him, could the Spirit's work of making men aware of Jesus' glory begin. He said, I remember walking to church one evening, on a winter evening, to preach the words, He will glorify me, seeing the building floodlit as I turned a corner, and realizing that this was exactly the illustration my message needed. When the floodlighting is well done, the floodlights are placed so you do not see them. In fact, you are not supposed to see where the light is coming from. What you are meant to see is just the building on which the floodlights are trained. The intended effect is to make visible otherwise what would not have been seen for the darkness, and to maximize dignity by throwing all the details in relief so you can see them properly. This perfectly illustrated the Holy Spirit's covenant role. He is, so to speak, the hidden floodlight shining on our Savior. Think of it this way. It is as if the Spirit stands behind us, throwing light over our shoulder onto Jesus who stands facing us. The Spirit's message is to us is never, look to me, listen to me, come to me, get to know me, but always look at Him, see His glory, listen to Him, hear His word, go to Him, have life, get to know Him, taste His gift of joy and peace. The Spirit, we might say, is the matchmaker, the celestial worker, the valet, so that we may stand in the presence of Jesus Christ and know the blessings that we constantly have rained down on us. What's better than that? In the psalm, David talks about honey. Who here loves honey? Put your hands up. You mean tell me there's people here that don't like honey? My golly, what are you, communists? To me, I will echo Jace Robertson from the Robertson family, who said, on a cold winter's morning, there is nothing better than a hot flaming donut with honey poured all over it. Boy, he's right. Honey in your coffee, honey in your tea. I can just go in the room when Wendy's not looking because she buys the honey in the house. And I got to tell you, she's kind of mean about it because she doesn't like people to touch it. She will dole it out like it's the last on earth. And I will go to the kitchen and get the big tablespoon and pour out a glop on there. And it's beneficial. It has vitamins and antioxidants and all this good stuff. It's got a long history. There is works of art on paintings in caves depicting honey and its use 8,000 years ago. It's also one of the only foods, when sealed correctly, does not spoil. It is a perfect product. It is talked about so often in the Bible as being next to refined gold that He felt it necessary to include it in here, that while honey right from the comb is one of the most sweetest pleasures on earth, our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, and the blessings therein are better than that. What's better than the Holy Spirit? A little girl was taking an evening walk with her father. Wonderingly, she looked up at the stars and exclaimed, "Hey, Daddy, you always say that we're on the wrong side of heaven, and it's so beautiful. I can't wait to see what the right side of it looks like." What is better than that? Knowing our Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing what He has. Knowing what He has given. Knowing what He will still give. knowing that the simplest blessing is still magnificent through Him, through the Holy Spirit, that we may know it all the time. And brothers and sisters, there ain't nothing better than that. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the spoonful of honey, for the free coffee, for the car that starts in the winter, for the blessings, for the marriages, for the answers to prayer, for those moments when at the 11th hour, at 2 minutes to go in the 11th hour, You bless us. Father, just let us be reminded that whatever we think is great, there are so many things yet to come better than that. And be thankful that You gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to show us, to watch over, to help keep us until Your Son comes and returns us back home. Father, lift us up through this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.